Book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 1.
And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, They will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him, and killed him, and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others.
If you want to read more, Matthew chapter 21 and Luke chapter 20, we can read more, but we don't have time. Here, parable is given. Jesus Christ is telling these scribes and Pharisees what these people are doing to Jesus Christ, and they are not listening. And he is saying, instead of saying this, the honor of the vineyard, he says he worked hard and put this all good wines and everything. He put a tower, means somebody could stay there and find out if anyone coming to steal or do anything harm to the farm. And everything he did, even the all kinds of protection he did, and just gave it to somebody to run it so he can have some kind of profit. But he says, each time he sent somebody, they killed, destroyed each and every one of them. The Word of God says, Book of Hebrews, chapter 1, God talked to his people in different time and different various ways. Please read that. But he said, in the last days, he talked to people through his Son.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
See, exactly says here. He was the heir of earth and heaven, or all the kingdoms, and everything was belonged to him. But when he sent his Son, before that, if you read in a book of Hebrews chapter 11, you read how many people were killed because of faith. And so you start from Abel to the last person, John the Baptist. All these people were killed because of their witness. The Word of God said Jesus Christ was trying to tell them, now the owner of these vineyards sends his own Son. And they start thinking, if he's the Son, let's kill him so everything will be ours. And so they kill him. And they said, throw him outside. Book of Hebrews chapter 13, it says, Jesus Christ took the shameful death outside the city. That's why he was crucified. So exactly happened. And then the question was asked, what the owner of the vineyard will do to these people? He said, he will kill them. He will destroy them. Not only that, he will take the vineyard and give it to somebody who can do a better job. So that's exactly the Word of God did it. The Jewish people did not understand the plan of God. So if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, he says they did not understand the plan of God, and so they did not have this peaceful land. So eternal peace is kept for the believers. And so we are the one Christian. Now Gentiles are much more blessed than the Jewish people because of their disobedience. Now many people are mixed up with this. They are saying Jewish people are still blessed and we are just grafted to the real tree. And so we don't have the roots. We are just depending on them. But that we are talking about not the Israeli people. We are talking about Jesus. Because in St. John chapter 15, he gives an example of that. I am the vine and you are the branches. So we have to be in Christ, not in Jewish nation. You understand the point? But the Jewish nation, they are not our source. Jesus Christ came from the Jewish nation. Apostles, they came from Jewish nation. But now we are much more blessed than them. How do you know? If you read, just go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and read last couple of verses. They did not receive the promise from there.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
See, when you read this 11th chapter, they were stoned, they were sandaled, they were carved, they were all kinds of problem they had, means persecution. Still they did not receive the promise. So God has kept something better for us, for the church of believers. So he said, they cannot be perfected without us. So how they can be perfected without us? If you read in St. John chapter 3:29.
He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled.
Now who is talking? John the Baptist is talking. John the Baptist is saying, there is a bride and there is a bridegroom. And I'm standing and my joy is fulfilled, just like a friend's joy fulfilled. Friend goes to the wedding and they talk to the bride and bridegroom and they be happy. We just read the words, they cannot be perfected without us. That means if Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and when we are a bride, then without a marriage and marriage supper, their joy is not going to be fulfilled. So their joy is just to watch bride and bridegroom. They cannot be bride. Now somebody will say, why not? They did so many things and suffer a lot. But we learn God took this vineyard from them, gave it to somebody who can produce the fruits. So the Gentiles are much more blessed. Jesus never said to his disciples, you are my wife. But after the day of Pentecost, when God gave them the Holy Spirit gave them the revelation that our relationship with Jesus Christ, just like a husband and wife, intimate relationship. That's what. So here John the Baptist is saying, my joy is fulfilled. I am the friend. And there is a bride and there is a bridegroom. Now, if you go to the Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ says something about John the Baptist. Saint Matthew chapter 11, start reading from verse 11.
Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Now see, here the John the Baptist, he says he is greatest, means any person is born into this world from the mother's womb. John the Baptist is greatest. But, just like a Nicodemus was a great man. He was a great teacher. When he comes to Jesus Christ, he said, what should I do to go to heaven? What Jesus said, you must be born again. How I can go to my mother's womb? He said, you must be born again from heaven by the Spirit of God. And so that kind of experience John the Baptist didn't have. John the Baptist was sanctified or cleansed by the blood of bulls and goats. we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist died before Jesus died. So he cannot be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we see our sanctification or our cleansing or our purification is much more greater than the Old Testament people. Book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12-14, if you read, it says, blood of bulls and goats sanctified outwardly, but the blood of Jesus Christ sanctified you inwardly.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
See, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. Once we are born again, children of God, we have the Spirit of God, and we have the conscience of God, and we can live like God-like life on earth. And so the John the Baptist was not washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, so he could not be bride. You understand the point? Okay, let's go back to the same book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 10.
And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
See, now when he gave the scriptures, scribes and Pharisees supposed to know the Bible. Go to the book of Psalms 118, verse 22 and 23.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
So what Jesus Christ was saying, you are the building the kingdom of God. You are the building the house for God. But you rejected the cornerstone. That was Jesus. And so he says, it's in God's eyes, God recognized that Jesus Christ is the real cornerstone. And without Jesus, no church can be built. You remember when Peter says, you are the Christ, Son of living God. He said, on this rock, I will build my church. And the word of God says in a book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, says that rock was Christ. So when they drank the water from that rock was Christ.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
The rock was Christ. So when you talking about Christ, then Jesus Christ said, on that rock, our church will be built. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, start reading from verse 10.
According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right. So the Jesus Christ is the foundational stone, he's a cornerstone, he's a rock, and that's what he says. You never read in your Bible that the builders rejected the right cornerstone. And so they got the message what Jesus Christ was saying. Let's go back to the Mark chapter 12, verse 12.
And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way.
They understood that Jesus Christ gave the right parable to let them know that God sent his Son, and he was the cornerstone. They rejected him, and they understood he's talking about us, that we are not giving any respect to Jesus Christ. So they wanted to kill him, but they could not kill him at that particular time. The time was not yet at hand. Verse 13.
And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words.
Now these people are sending Pharisees and the Herodians. Now these two group of people coming to find some fault in Christ. Now they are not ordinary people, highly educated in the law. So they could go and catch Jesus Christ, what he's saying. And the Herodians, it means like the Herod's people, they are finding some fault. So they wanted to say, okay, you come, and if he says something against the Caesar, if he says something against your kingdom, then we have something proof that we can kill him. That was their idea. So we'll see in this chapter, they are trying to trick him to and find out if he's giving right answers. Let's read from verse 14.
And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?
See, they are trapping him. These are Caesar's people are there, Herodians there. The first question they are asking, you are a good man, you are a righteous man, and you are not looking at somebody's face and give the answers. So we want to have a right answer. Shall we give taxes to the Caesar or not? Now, there are so many Christians today. They are saying, oh, we are born again Christians. We are not supposed to pay taxes. The Word of God says if you are born again, you must pay taxes, because the Word of God says what is belong to Caesar, give it to Caesar. What is belong to God, you give it to God. You give tithe to the Lord and you give tax to the government. But some people are saying, we are the king's children. The kingdom is belong to us. So why should we give to the another king taxes? That's why they don't want to pay taxes. That's why they're saying it. So here Jesus Christ used very good wisdom. Let's read verse 15.
Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying,
Okay, now what happened here? One group of people came to trap him. Shall we give the tax to government or not? So he gave the right answer, and they were surprised, and they didn't have any questions. So now say, let's send another group of people. And the Sadducees people, they don't believe in the resurrection. They say, let's ask, what is his teaching on resurrection? So they start asking him questions. Let's read verse Mark 12:19.
Master, Moses wrote unto us, If a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother.
When they say Moses said it, they're supposed to say the right scripture. And so let's see, Deuteronomy chapter 25, start reading from verse 5.
If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her.
We can read up to 10, but time doesn't permit. So here they gave the right answer. This is what the Moses said. Mark 12:20.
Now there were 7 brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the 7 had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the 7 had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven.
Now here, they just made up the story. But Jesus Christ said, you are making a mistake. You don't know the truth. You don't know the power of God. You don't know anything about spiritual matters. You are thinking about the worldly thing and trying to find a fault in my teaching. So he was trying to say, first of all, when we go to heaven, we are not going to remarry. having husband and wife relationship there, but we will be just like angels. Let's read a little bit further.
And as touching the dead that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Now here he's giving an example. When God talked to Moses, I'm the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. So he says, our God is not the God of dead people, but he's the God of people who are alive. Now somebody said, Abraham died, Isaac died, and Jacob died. What are you talking about? But they did not die and go to hell. They are still spiritually alive. That's what he's trying to say. But he's trying to say those seven people who married seven times to that same lady, we don't know they are spiritual, godly people, and you are bringing that story has no meaning. Because everybody who is born in this world, they are born physically, not spiritually. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and start reading from verse 42.
So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption.
See, sown in corruption means this body is corruptible. When sown means when you put this body in the grave, its corruptible body doesn't have any power or eternity in the body. But when we are resurrected, we are getting a new body. That body will be never decay. And that body will be for eternity.
It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power.
When we die, it's not a dignifying thing to put it in a grave. It's not a glorious thing. The same way, some people die with a sickness, disease, weakness, and things like that. But when they are raised, they are not sick anymore. They are not weak anymore. They are not feeble anymore. They are completely transformed with a strong body.
It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body.
So again, he's repeating several examples. So this our body is a natural. But when we are raised from the grave, then we have spiritual body. So the first is natural. The second is spiritual. Jesus Christ was explaining to them, these people naturally died, and if they are not spiritual, in the first place, they are not going to make it to heaven in the first place. Then there is no question about whose wife she will be. And even though they make it to heaven, they are going to be like angels. So there is no question about it.
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual.
Right. The first is natural, and that after the resurrection is spiritual. So each and every person born into this world, if they die without Christ, they are not going to go to heaven. They are going to go to hell, or they are spiritual, they are going to go to heaven. But they are not going to have a glorious body to go to hell. Their body will be not a glorious body. I don't know what kind of body they will have, but that body is not comparing to what the church is going to get. And so they will be in hell for eternity. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 12, verse 27.
He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err.
He's trying to say, our God is not for the dead people who are dead in sin. Our God is the people who are spiritually alive and to take them to heaven. So he said, you people are confused. You never understood, and you are asking the wrong questions. Verse 28.
And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
He just said two commandments. Love your Lord from your heart, and second thing, you love your neighbor. Once you do these two, then everything will be fine. Because when you love the Lord, and then you love your neighbor or love another person, we are not going to kill, we are not going to steal, we are not going to do any harm to anybody if you love them. So these two commandments are the foundation for the all commandments. Some of the people are fighting for the Ten Commandments. Let's do these two, and everything will be fine. Okay, and so if you want to know all these scriptures where he was given, I'll read it. Let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Verse 5.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12.
And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul?
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6.
And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
And when you are born again, then there is no problem obeying the commandments. If you are not born again, then we cannot obey the commandments. That's why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary, and people are still fighting for Sabbath. But Jesus Christ says, I did it all. And Book of Romans and Book of Galatians, if you read, if you do all 9 commandments and if you break one, you are guilty of all. And so not a single person was able to do the commandments. So somebody says, then what? We don't have to do commandments. You just love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then he gives you grace to love your brother or neighbor, and then everything will be fulfilled. And so that's why Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel, I give you no commandment, love one another. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are not going to hate anybody. We are not going to kill anybody. We are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything will be fine. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 32.
And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question.
Somehow he got the knowledge. He said, you know, loving God and doing his will, it is better than the sacrifice. You remember what the Samuel said to the Saul? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so he was saying, you trying to do the sacrifice ahead of me, and I told you not to do it. If you would all listen to me, it would be better than doing sacrifice and disobeying. And so this man got an idea. So Jesus Christ says, you're not too far from the kingdom of God. So there are so many people, they're not far from the kingdom of God, but they're not in the kingdom of God. They look righteous, they do so many good things, but the point is, you can do all good things. And if you don't receive Jesus Christ and you reject Christ, your good things are filthy rags in the sight of God. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can do good things. Go to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
God has before ordained, means what? Before the foundation of the world, we were in the mind of God, in the heart of God. And God wanted mankind to do good things. But from the Genesis until Jesus Christ came, nobody did good things. So the book of Isaiah says, your good works is filthy rag in the sight of God. But if you are in Christ Jesus, that's why God has created us in Christ Jesus, so you can do good works. So then when you are in Christ, you don't have to have problem to do good things, because that becomes our nature. Because Jesus Christ dwells in us, so we cannot do anything wrong. And some people said, I'm Christian, why cannot I do these things? They are not yielding their spirit to God. They are not living according to the word of God. Read that book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
See, what he's trying to say, if you are in Christ, you have no condemnation, no judgment, you are not going to go to hell. But if you are in Christ, then you are going to walk according to the spiritual law. What the Spirit is telling you. When you abide by the Spirit of God, then you are going to fulfill the spiritual law. We cannot say, I'm a born again and do the carnal things. If you are born again, then the Spirit will lead you to do the right things. If you walk according to the Spirit of God, then we'll call the children of God. If you have the Spirit of God, then we will walk according to the Spirit of God. We cannot say, I have a Spirit of God, I'm born again, and I smoke, and I drink, and I do these things. You cannot do that thing. In one glass, clean glass, you cannot keep a dirty thing and say, this is a clean water. So clean glass will have clean water. If you put something else, it's not a clean water anymore. So the Word of God says, 1 Peter 2:2, okay.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
See, a newborn babe means born again child of God, supposed to find the church where the full gospel is preached. People go to convention in different kinds of group, and they go for convention, they get saved, they fill with the Holy Spirit, and they dance, they be happy, and when they come back, they go to their original churches, and spiritually they die. Because they are not getting pure milk. So when you are born again child of God, you should have a desire for the pure word of God. Then you spiritually grow. And so when I tell people on the radio or anywhere I'm preaching, I said, now you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, find a church where the pure gospel or the full gospel is preached. There are all kinds of churches. You have to tell person, now you're born again, go to church where the full gospel is preached. If I'm going to wrong church, how can I tell somebody to go to right church? So we cannot go and sit somewhere and take the garbage and then be a spiritual. It will not happen, because they are going to teach the wrong teaching, the wrong doctrine, today or tomorrow will catch up with you. And so we have to learn the pure word of God. Okay, let's go back to the book of Mark, verse 34.
And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David?
Now, when these people asked the question, and Jesus Christ said, Okay, you people gave a good answer. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you some questions. They asked him up to now. Now, he's asking them a questions. He's trying to say that David himself said by the Holy Ghost, Lord said unto my Lord. So, he's trying to say,
For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts.
He asked them a question. They did not give him an answer, but he was trying to say what David was talking about himself, or he was talking about the Lord. And they are reading and they are not understanding. Go to the Psalm 110 verse 1.
The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Now they are reading this and they are not understanding if the David saying about himself or David saying about somebody else. So he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't understand because Jesus Christ is the only one came into this world, destroy the enemy, the devil, and he is a conqueror. And he is going to come as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They didn't understand what the Jesus Christ is trying to tell these disciples now. Let me warn you, these Pharisees and these scribes, they are thinking, they are lawyers, they are very learned in the scriptures, but they are misleading you. And they are not giving you the right teaching. So beware of them. Let's go back to the book of Mark chapter 12 and start reading from verse 40.
Which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury.
But here he says about these Pharisees, what kind of dresses? They want long dresses. They want salute from the other people. They are always money hungry and they take the widows' houses and they will have greater punishment. Today also people are doing that. Now, most of the people, Christian people also say, okay, why don't you write a will? Before they die, they tell the people, make a will to church. Sound good. But why we have to go after them? Let them make their own will and give it to church. Church should not be going after their money and telling them they might be wanted to do something else with their money. But people are going to say, okay, write a will and give $10,000 to the certain charity and they will give you some high interest. And people think, okay, I'll do it. Now, when you give $10,000 to some charity and you are 95 years old and they start giving you $500 a month, you will be dying before they can give you rest of the money. But this is just a trick to get your money. Same with these houses. They said, when you are old, why are you giving your house to your children and your relatives? Get the reverse mortgage. And when you do that, you actually lose the money. You don't lose the house, you will be having house. But once you make a mistake, until you die, they cannot take your house. Now, there's one person in Ohio, he said he had the single house and he got that kind of mortgage. And so he said, I'm going to sell it. I said, please don't sell it. Leave until you die. They are not going to kick you. But if you sell that house and go and rent somewhere else, you will lose whatever you have. This is like a ripoff. So he is saying these Pharisees, they are trying to say they are doing something good to these widows, but actually they are taking their houses, they are taking their property and trying to destroy them. Now this is another subject. Let's read verse 41.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
Jesus and his disciples sitting there, Jesus is watching, and the people be giving thousands of dollars. Here the widow gives two mites. And so he said, she gave more than anybody else. The disciples might be thinking, she gave only two mites. How can somebody give 1,000, 10,000? And you saying she gave more? He said, let me tell you, that much she had. She had only two penny, and she gave two penny. How much she gave? Whatever she had, she gave. Other person had 10,000. Out of 10,000, he gave $10. It's not even 10%, not even 5%. So they did not give according to the word of God. This lady had only two pennies. When my father was young, within one penny, you can buy 10 items. And so two pennies were worth too much that time. And 2,000 years ago, can you imagine that two penny will have how much value? But she put it. not like a worthless penny. I see sometimes people put in the church offering. They will put the dollar bill nobody takes, very crumble or something like that, or penny who is completely dark or coins or something like that on. Or sometimes they will put only Canada coin or some other coin just to put something. Jesus Christ gave an example. He says, you know, when you giving to your governor, can you give him a fable cow or fable goat, a gift? No. Then you give it to God the best. The word of God says, you give from your heart. And then this lady gave everything what she had. And I was thinking, many people will not agree with me, but I was thinking, this lady, I don't know why she gave. She could keep that and use it. Here her son might be dying. And so she said, I cannot do anything with this two penny. Anyhow, I'm going to give it to the Lord. God can raise my son, or God can heal my son. If that faith she did it, the word of God says, the widow's son was dead, and Jesus went to that village. She did not call. But when they were taking this widow's son, he stopped them, and he raised that son and gave it to her. Anything you give it to God, he gives you hundredfold in return. Now, if son was not old, he says the young man. Now, this young man can get a job and make more money than two pennies. Even though before you give, he would know what you're thinking and how much you're giving. So the word of God says she gave all of her living. I was just thinking, and she had that much courage to give it all. I believe God raised that widow's son, even they didn't say that two penny that lady gave her son, but I believe in my heart that is the widow's son Jesus raised. Whatever we give it to the Lord is not going in vain. He will give us everything what we need. Sometimes some people say, oh, this is all I have, and I'm going to hold on to this. And some people, even they die with the things they have it in their hand, and it will not do any good. If you have a little bit, something, even the seed, and you hold it, that seed, and don't sow it, you will not have any harvest. But if you have apple seed or mango seed, you plant it, it takes a long time. But once they start coming, you have the harvest. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You came from heaven. We didn't know anything about Father. But you showed us the Father. You showed us the way to heaven. And you showed us how to love one another. And so, Lord Jesus, give us grace. There are so many people dying without God and without Christ. And they don't know the truth. Give us grace to teach these people, tell these people about Jesus Christ, so they can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.